All right, if you guys have your word, we'll go ahead and get started. All right, who are you? Is that the Barbara O'Reilly? I can't remember which one that was, the Who song. Who are you? But as we do this, it's really important for Christians because I think we need to remind ourselves continually about this, who we are. And so it's an identity thing. So when we're looking at it here, we're going to kind of cover three topics tonight for basically things we're supposed to be doing. So who are you? Identity. Now, this comes from Wikipedia, and they say that in psychology, identity is the qualities, beliefs, personality, and expressions make up a person. Process of identity can be creative or destructive, okay? And so as we view ourselves, we're going to either be that creative or destructive, okay? If we feel that we don't have power, you're not going to show power. If you feel you do have power and you can manifest that power, okay, that's creative. How we view ourselves, if we view ourselves that we're just a little mite, you know, on the back of a dog, then you're going to probably, it's going to be pretty destructive. But if you view yourself as you are the son of, you know, of Yahweh, brother, fellow heir of Christ, it's going to change the way we view ourselves as a creative. So, in the military, okay, Chuck, I know you went through this, I went through this, even though it was the Air Force, I know it's a little bit different, but when you go in, it was kind of interesting, because the first thing they do, this is not what they do, right? Now, for women, they don't do this, but for men, we get our first haircut, okay, and it's nice, because it's these prison barbers, okay, and I remember one of them told the dude, he's like, had long hair, and he pulls him over, and he goes, come here, Jesus, and this guy walks over there, and sits down, and they spin him around from there, and just shit right down, the razor right down in front of the head, and I just started laughing, you know, I'm like, going, okay, and it was, you could almost think that people were like, going, they didn't know what to do, but it was different. Why are they doing this? Because here's the next stage. Did you have, Lisette, did they have the shot lines when you went through? I thought by now they would have gotten rid of those, but this was a while back ago. Chuck, you remember those? You pulled your sleeve up and you walked through this thing, and literally you just keep walking, and they're hitting you with these shots, and it's air injected into you, and they're missing, and it's ripping skin, and everybody's bleeding by the time, and that's exactly what the people look like. There was no joy or excitement or anything. Then you get the encouragement from your drill instructor, okay? Where they're going to nicely and peacefully charm you and make sure that they don't get in your safe space, okay? And they're going to encourage you. And the whole point is, here, you see this here? Here's a double encouragement. What happens within this is, especially, now this is Marines, a lot of these here are from Marines, is they are deconstructing you as an individual, to build you up as an entity, as a team. Your individuality is a part of the team, but they take that all away from you to reconstruct you. Okay? And so it's a building up of how they want you to be built up. And so in the military, this is what they do, and it's effective because it reprograms, if you will. Okay, quit looking at yourself. This is the group that we're looking at. Spartans. This was kind of an interesting one, their story. The Spartan king. This is ancient Greece, and one of the emissaries comes in, and the Spartan king is telling him, we have got these impenetrable walls all around Sparta. And the emissary's like, you know, he's looking around, and he's like, well, I don't see any. And he goes, I would love to see these. Can you tell me where they are? And he brings them over to one of the groups of people. And he says, these soldiers, these are the wall. Nothing will get through. And so for them, if they knew that the building block, the same way as a military or as a force together, that they were a wall and that they were impenetrable because nothing would get through with this fortress here. Okay, let's start off here. We're going to start off here in Ephesians. And some of these I have pages. I think I have them on most of them. You see, that's page 197 in the New Testament. And so I will have, who's there? Anybody there yet?
I'm there.
Elijah,
why don't you, would you read this for me? Give everybody a minute to get there.
17. In coming, he announced the glad message of peace unto you the far off, and peace unto them that were high. Because through him we have our introduction, we both in one spirit unto the Father. Hence then, no longer are ye strangers and
Sojourners.
Sojourners. But ye are fellow citizens of the saints and members of the household of Elohim, having been built up in the foundation of the apostles and prophets, there being for chief cornerstone Yehoshua Mashiach himself, in whom an entire building in process of being fitly joined together is growing into a holy shrine in the Lord, in whom ye also are being builded together into a habitation of Elohim in spirit, of Yahweh in spirit.
That's it. Very good. And so you see this when you think about it for a new believer. A new believer, when they do Romans 10, 9, and 10, they receive spirit, then what happens to them? They become a new creation. And so as a new creation, we have to, you get done though, and you don't have the shaved hair, and nobody's standing there yelling in your face, but you have to realize that I'm a new creation. What does that mean? What's my responsibility? Where do I go from here at this point because of this? And this is where we're being fit together. And so this is where I thought this was kind of neat. We're going to do a little bit of a study here on this. Fitly joined, okay? This is from Kings 6 and 7. Now the house, when it was being, what was in building, the whole quarry stones was built. Neither hammer nor axe nor any tools of iron was heard in the house when it was in building. Okay? And I thought that was pretty neat. So what they did is they had to have the measurements. They had to have everything specific so that when it came in, it would be fitly joined. Now, how does that apply to a believer? How does that apply? Every believer has a different gift or a different thing that they're going to bring to the table. It's just like we've talked about before, where you have a conductor, and a conductor is Christ. Okay? And then you have all the instruments and you have all the people. There's people who put the seats out there. They raise the stage up. They get everything ready. They get the lights. And so it's in a complete production. And so when it's fitly joined together, they did all this in the quarry. This was for the temple that they're talking about. This is all fit in the quarry. And then they bring it in and fit it in exactly where it was supposed to go. And so for a perfect resemblance for the body of Christ would be that. Now what we have is where there's going to be gaps and there's going to be holes. And then there's going to be times where we have to possibly stand in the gap and do a couple extra jobs because somebody else is not doing it. And then that should always imply to ourselves, what am I not doing and where am I? What's my job and what should I be doing? Am I meeting it? Am I not? And Yahweh, give me more. I'll take more. I can do more. Keep bringing it on. Because everything that you're equipped with and given, as you handle that and take that, for one, you're blessed here on earth. Your blessings in heaven are endless. Okay, they're going to last for, you know, ages and ages. And you're helping the whole body of Christ. And so it's like a trifecta win that way. Okay, so this is it. And then so as we look at ourselves, we have to put ourselves up there. And this is one thing I've loved that I've read before and never really noticed before, built up on the foundations of apostles and prophets. So think about that. When we go, okay, when we go to sleep, or if Christ comes back, okay, which could happen first, but we go to sleep, what did we leave? What did we leave? Where is our legacy for people to be standing on from there? Okay, we're building up on the apostles and the prophets. So think of it as a wall that we're building up, that this huge monument or this huge wall is being built, and we're stacking ourselves up and in and around the apostles and the prophets. We're building upon the foundation that they also set. Okay, and so what's going to be coming behind us that's going to be built on the foundation that we've set? Or did we leave foundation? Or did we partake in it, or did we leave nothing? And just, you know, our heirs or the next generations will not have. This is kind of a neat one from 1 Corinthians. For we are Yahweh's fellow workmen, ye are. Yahweh's farm, Yahweh's building. I thought about that. Yahweh's farm. Don't anybody try to tell me what kind of farm animal I am. I don't want to hear any oinking or mooing, okay? According to the favor of Yahweh, which hath been given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, whereas another is building thereon, okay? Another is building thereon on the foundation. This is the foundations of the apostles and the prophets that we are building on to theirs as well, okay? It's building thereon. But let each one see how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no one lay than that which is lying, which is Yehoshua Christ. Okay? And so this is it. So how we're building this up. And so we're going to look at a couple things here, and we're going to flip over here to 1 Peter. And I didn't put the page on that, but I'll tell you what it is. We're going to be on about page 239. Okay, so when everybody gets there, it's not going to come up on the screen because it's too much verbiage. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 10, and I'll read this here as we go through. It was just kind of neat because I never thought about that. You know, I always thought about that with the foundation, that we build on the foundation of Christ, which is the cornerstone, which it is. Okay, but we're also building on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and the church, you know, fathers and the people who have led before us that have laid things. I think about that with Helios Ministries. You know, maybe 100, 200 years from now, people are going to come across that and they're going to continue on that foundation that is all anchored to the cornerstone. But they'll be able to take it. And guess what? Look at all the work that Helios Ministries has done that's going to leap forward. You think about this. If say that we found the master print of all electronics for communication, for getting energy from pure water, where the water is separated and it's hydrogen and oxygen, and all you have to do is put water in your tank, and everything goes, and what comes out of it is water vapor. Okay? And you look at that and you think to yourself, golly, wouldn't that be sweet? That'd be so cool. And the technology. And then you think to yourself, what if somebody just dropped that off and said, it's already done, here it is. Here's what it is. And so now you could immediately leap forward. And so I think about that, where Chuck has found that, where he's gone through with Helios Ministries and finds these old manuscripts and these old writings and is able to look at this. How did we miss this? And it fast forwards you to becoming even more Helios and getting you to a higher point. And so I think that we're building on this foundation, just as we build on the foundation of the founding fathers and the founding, you know, apostles and prophets. And so it's wonderful that we can do that. Anyways, I'm rambling here. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 10. Here we go. Putting away, therefore, all vice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envyings and detractions. The detractions there is would be like speaking bad of something, okay, is what we're referring to. I always thought that was distractions, but it's detractions, okay? As newborn babes for the pure milk that is for the mind, eagerly crave, that thereby ye may grow unto salvation. Verse 3, if ye have tasted for yourselves that gracious is the Lord, unto whom coming near as unto a living stone, by men indeed rejected, but with Yahweh chosen, held in honor. Now yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices well-pleasing unto Yahweh through or Dia. That through there, between Yahweh and Jesus Christ, that's Dia, through Jesus Christ, insomuch as is contained in the Scriptures, lo, I lay in Zion an outmost cornerstone, chosen, held in honor. And he that resteth faith thereupon shall not be put to shame. Unto you then is the honor, unto you who believe. But unto such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the same hath become a head of corner, and the stone to strike against, and a rock to stumble over, who stumble because unto the word they do not yield, unto which they also have been appointed. But ye are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a peculiar treasure, that the excellence ye may tell forth of him who out of the darkness hath called you into the marvelous light, who at one time were a no people, but now are a people of Yahweh, who had been enjoying mercy, who had not been enjoying mercy, but now have received mercy. And so there's 3 points we're going to kind of take from here, and we're going to kind of go over these here real quick. Okay? But a few things here that have happened here recently in the news that it doesn't surprise me, but it kind of always opens my eyes to see things. So when you see this and you're hearing about the stumbling, okay, a stone to strike against and a rock to stumble over, who stumble because unto the word they do not yield, but unto the world they do. And so the same thing that is our anchor is their sinking. It's their lead in their ship, if you will, that sinks them. Our anchor is what brings them down. It's completely backwards. Okay, completely backwards. But if we try to object that or explain it, it's unexplainable. So the rock that directs us and gives us direction and holds our foundation to where we're supposed to be is the thing that they trip over and hate and don't want. Okay? And so we can't try to explain that. We have to just realize, hey, without Christ, which is our cornerstone, if you don't have Christ as your cornerstone, then he's an annoyance and a factor in your way that you're going to trip over, and it's going to be, you're going to strike against it. And it's going to tick you off. And so we have to understand that and not be able to try to explain that. This was a poll taken just a couple days ago. CBS poll on violent religions. Okay? It's kind of interesting. It's a CBS poll, so I don't look at it as somebody trying to cite it. CBS is not what I would normally consider being a conservative. Okay? This is it. CBS poll. Most Democrats think Christianity is as violent as Islam. Okay? Only one in seven registered Democrats in America believe that Islam is more violent than Christianity. Okay, that goes for Judaism. It goes for all sects of Christianity, all of them. They lumped it into Christianity. And so what you see here is only one in seven. Okay, the sad thing is, for the Republicans, it was about 30% also felt the same way. Okay, based on what? Based on what? What Christianity is this violence? I mean, I love this picture that CBS put out there.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got all these guys on top of this cage with people in it. You've seen where they've lit people on fire in these cages. Okay, behead people on camera. And I'm like, well, I don't remember seeing that anywhere on TV or any of the Christians doing that. But this doesn't make a difference. We don't have to explain it. This is what is being told, and this is how people feel. And so guess what? For this group, these people look at this as a stumbling. Okay? Christ is a stumbling point, not their anchor. It's annoyance. It's not going to get better, unfortunately. And so when we see this, we have to just realize, yeah, this is the world. What do you expect? Okay? The rock is either of the word or of the world. It's going to be one or the other. Yourselves also. Now here's the three points we're going to go over here in this little sharing here tonight. Yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer a spiritual sacrifice. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of look at these here. Spiritual house, holy priesthood, and spiritual sacrifices. Okay, so this is kind of where we're going to go. We're going to look here at the spiritual house, and referring to this as the temple or dwelling place of Yahweh. So I always think back of this, what happened when Christ died? When Christ died on the cross, what happened? What happened in the Holy of Holies?
The veil
is torn from the top down, okay? And it became dark. And so I think about this, and why? I think that for a lot of times I didn't understand that. It's because the Holy of Holies now was no more to be a place that was of rock and mortar type of a place. It was all going to change. And what did Christ tell? What did he tell the Pharisees? That took, 80 years to build this, and I'll rebuild this in 3 days. And they laughed at him. Why? Because they're looking at a building saying, yeah, this took a lot of people a lot of years. They had no idea what he's talking about. He did. He knew what it was going to be. But he did rebuild it in 3 days when he was raised, and things changed. A new change took place because of that. So spiritual house, temple or dwelling place of Yahweh, where is that now?
Us.
It's us. Okay, let's flip over to 1 Corinthians 3. And I did put the page, 168, New Testament. And I'll let one of you kids read this once you get to it. 16 and 17. All right, good job, baby.
Yeah.
It's on 168 on the top left. 16 and 17, baby.
Come over here.
Everybody there?
Yep.
Okay.
Know ye not that ye are a shrine of God, and that the Spirit of God within you doth dwell? If anyone doth mar the sign of Yahweh, Yahweh will mar him, for the sign of Yahweh is holy, and such are ye.
That's it. You're the shrine, so we are the temple. And if you remember the temple, how important it was, how what it took to get to it, and then when they rebuilt it, and it would get... defamed. You remember that, where they came in and there was pornography, there was prostitution, mm-hmm. prostitution taking place within this, okay, and how absurd that was. And then you look at it and we have to look at ourselves. Who are we? We are that shrine now. And so if we don't carry ourselves and look at ourselves as that, what are we doing? What are we doing to this shrine of Yahweh? Because Yahweh said, hey, the veil's torn. No more is this a brick and mortar place. Now it is 3 days. Christ did. In 3 days I will rebuild it and get it. And it's within us. And so that's where knowing who we are will help us. The Holy of Holies. Okay? Ye also, as living stones, are being spiritual, built a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. We're going to look at the holy priesthood part of this. Okay? Now think about this, when these were the maintainers of the temple. And remember back in there that everybody, there was certain jobs for everything. People who would bring the stuff in, for even the creation, everything. The people who put out the showbread, put the incense out, the candle, oil, everything was all taken place of. And who was it that did that? It was the Levites, and that was a special thing for them. And they did not receive inheritance of land because they received the inheritance of Yahweh. Okay, by doing this. Guess what? We now are the new Levites, if you will, because we maintain it, and it is us that maintain it, and we can maintain it for ourselves. Like you, as family, as father and mother, you're maintaining it for your kids. Okay, so you're helping do that as well. So we have to look at that is that, yeah, this is, guess what? We do get the land. Okay, we do have the inheritance of land, and we take care of the temple, and it's all within us. And the Holy Spirit was on them and could be taken away, and now we have Holy Spirit in us, okay, that we are sealed with. Active participants in the body, meaning that we maintain it, that it is our holy temple, our holy shrine. So this is 2 Samuel 6. Melania, will you read that for me there, please?
So David would not remove unto him the ark of Yahweh unto the city of David, but David took it aside to the house of
Obed-Edom,
the Gittite, and the ark of Yahweh abode in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and Yahweh blessed Obed-Edom and all his household.
That's right. And you guys, if you remember this, this is when they're moving the ark, and it went to move. And who was it? Uzzah? I don't remember. But put his hand up there to stop it, and it made Yahweh mad because he broke a commandment. This is how important the temple was. And so it scared David, and so David didn't want to bring it in. Like, going, what the heck? I mean, this thing is powerful, very powerful. And so he puts it in this guy's house, and it stays there for 3 months. And guess what? Yahweh blessed them big for them holding it and maintaining it. And so the same thing for us, as we are the shrine, that we are blessed by maintaining it. Spiritual sacrifices. Okay, the third part of this. Those sacrifices that are accepted by Yahweh. We know what's an accepted sacrifice. Back in the Old Testament, basically it would be consumed by fire. Okay? So we don't have to do the animal sacrifices because Christ took that. But it still says here in the New Testament to offer spiritual sacrifices. Well, what does that mean? How am I supposed to offer spiritual sacrifices? We look across the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is, you know, even us going through this teaching, it's powerless. The Christians are powerless. And so I think to myself, spiritual sacrifice. You know, well, it means you should be doing this and you should be doing these types of things. And I'm like going, well, yes, to a certain extent, some of that is true and some of that is not. But what is a spiritual sacrifice for us now as we are the body of Christ? First of all, maintaining our bodies. Let's go to Romans 12, 1, which is 161 here. Flip over a couple of pages. Twelve one. One of you kids want to read that for me, please?
I will.
Okay.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, sought compassions of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice unto Yahweh, acceptable your rational divine service.
That's it. Your bodies as a living, holy sacrifice. Okay, so when we're doing these spiritual sacrifices, we're looking at this. What are we doing now? Your body is a holy sacrifice because your body is the shrine. It is the shrine of that. And so that's one of them. Next one here we're going to look at is praise and thanksgiving. Okay? Individually and in groups, this is something we should be doing. And that's, you know, Shauna prefaced this very well. That the things coming from your mouth, if the things coming from your mouth are not creative, there are a very good chance that they are destructive. And these destructive things, as we speak these things out, it takes away. And it also breaks down our faith. If we're constantly, oh, you know, I get sick every single time at this time of the year. I can't beat this. It just drives me crazy. Well, we're confessing things. We're speaking destruction and not creation. So we try to fight them. And I've been guilty of that. You know, you're like going, oh, you got this crud coming on and I'm speaking against this. And I'm like, oh, just keep speaking against it. Just don't give up. You keep speaking against it over and over and over again. Don't throw down. Individually and in groups. So we're doing the praise and the thanksgiving. In Hebrews 13:15. Elijah, why don't you read that for me?
Through him, let us be offering up a sacrifice of praise continually unto Elohim, that is, a fruit of lips confessing unto his name.
That's it. Sacrifice of praise. And so as we're opening our mouths and praising Yahweh, we're not speaking negative. At least if nothing else, you know, it's like the person who puts their finger in the hole, okay? It stops it for now, okay? And while that's happening, no water's running in and flooding it. And so while you're running your mouth in praise and thanksgiving, it's not going to be running your mouth with anything that could sink you, so to speak. Spiritual sacrifices, giving, a cheerful giver. Philippians 4:18. Elijah or Isaiah, why don't you read this one for me, would you please?
But I have all things in full and having more than enough. I am filled, having welcome from
Epaphroditus,
things that came from you, a fragrant, sweet smell, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing unto Yahweh.
That's it. And so Yahweh's equipped us. Everything that we can give to Him, He's already given to us. All we're doing is giving it back. Okay, that's all we're doing. It's like a parent, you know, that gives their kid an allowance, and then the kid takes the allowance and goes and buys you a gift. Okay, and you're thankful. You're like, well, thank you. That was very nice. Okay, money came from me, but you don't ever tell that. And it's the same way. Yahweh does that for us. Yahweh's given it. He's equipped us, and He's equipping us sometimes so that we can be obedient and send it down the line to where Yahweh says we want this to go. So a cheerful giver, giving, and this was kind of a neat experience with that. Let's flip over to 2 Corinthians 9, page 187. Page 87, chapter 9, verses 6 through 10. And I'll read this one here. Unless somebody want already there. 9, 6 through 10. Also to this, however, he that soweth sparingly, sparingly also shall reap. He that soweth with blessings also shall reap. Each one according as he hath been purposed in his heart, not sorrowfully, nor of necessity, for a cheerful giver Yahweh loveth. Moreover, Yahweh is able to cause every gracious gift to superabound unto you, in order that, having in everything at every time, every kind of sufficiency of your own. I love that. Everything of at every time of every kind of sufficiency of your own. You may be superabounding unto every good work, even as it is written. He has scattered abroad, he hath given to the needy, his righteousness abideth in futurity. Now he that supplieth the seed to the sower, and bread for eating will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and cause to grow your fruits of righteousness. Okay? So that's it. So we're some of the other things that we can be doing is a sacrifice. I think about that for when you have money, and you're, especially when you're poor and you're going to give, you know, it's really, you know, even back in the Old Testament days, a tenth. If you've got a couple bucks and you're going to give a tenth of that, you're looking at like going, I'm already, you know, barely going to scrape by. I'm barely going to scrape by. And to be able to do this and walk out in faith to give and to be able to receive that back and to know that Yahweh wants me to do this. And guess what? He's everything, every time of every blessing that I'd be able to bestow back upon me. All right, next one. What we do through, okay, which is the dia, and for Christ. So what we're doing through and for Christ. Power manifested, okay? Power manifested, what are we going to be looking at here? Okay? These are actual power. These are things. And I look at this as a spiritual sacrifice that you are actually, a person is actually taking this and saying, this is not of this world. This is something that you have to have faith and you have to believe that you, that this is there and you will be able to do it. And so when people walk out, you may not have that feeling, well, I feel like I can do this today, but I'm going to do it because Yahweh says I can. So word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healings, mighty works, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, excellently giving thanks there. That's a twofold with that, and translation of tongues. And so when we look at this, what we're doing through Christ and for Christ, this is all things that we've been blessed with that we're able to do as a sacrifice. So then be. What do we do? What was that?
Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot. Putting away, therefore, all vice and deceit and hypocrisy and envying and distraction. That's the evil speaking as newborn babes for the pure milk that is for the mind eagerly crave. Now, that does not mean that we stay on the teat, so to speak. Okay? It means that you crave for the pureness that Yahweh is pouring out. And that this is what you desire. And we should be working ourselves so that we're not always on the milk, that we are going for the meat and we're trying to get ourselves farther along the path that Christ wants us to. And I thought this was kind of a neat quote here. He that chooses Yahweh devotes himself to Yahweh as the vessels of the sanctuary are consecrated. So think about that, how when they made them, the stands of gold, all the things that they put out, these all had to be consecrated before they were done. So he that devotes himself to Yahweh as the vessels of the sanctuary are consecrated and set apart from common to holy uses. So the same stands that could be used outside when they were to be used inside had to be consecrated and to be blessed, and they were not the common. Now, when we refer to ourselves as the body, guess what? What are we taking in? Same thing. Is it supposed to be the common stuff? Is it supposed to be the common things that we're associating with? Okay? No, we're supposed to be separated, and to be these things that are sanctified, consecrated, set apart from common to the holy users, so that he that has chosen Yahweh to be his Elohim has dedicated himself to Yahweh and will no more be devoted to profane uses. Okay? And last couple things here. Let's go to 127 here, Psalms 127, page 597 in the Old Testament. Top of the right side, chapter 127. A Song of Ascents, Solomon's, verse 1. If Yahweh build not the house, in vain have the builders of it toiled thereon. If Yahweh watch not the city, in vain hath the watchman kept awake. And so the same thing for our bodies. Yahweh has created us to become the Holy of Holies, and we have to be the same thing. And if we are building on any foundation other than what is the foundation of Christ as a cornerstone, then it is in vain. So I'm going to finish here. This I found this little poem that I thought was kind of a neat one here. As far as us being able to transfer, and as we build our foundation on the apostles and prophets, on Christ as the cornerstone, we are also building on that. And so guess what? People behind us are going to come on, and they're going to build on as well. And they'll be able to take some of the things that, you know, have jumped across. Like, holy cow, how did we miss this? Look at this. This pushes us from, you know, I think about that in Turkey, in the country of Turkey. They leaped and bound about 50 years in the span of about 8 years. Because technology, and it was Ataturk was the guy's name. And he pushed their country to become no longer this, you know, dirt poor third world nation, but to push them through. And so he expanded them in the course of 50 years. He did it in like 8. And I think about that, building on the foundations of things that were already there. So other people coming behind us are going to be doing the same thing. Now, if they're coming across a sandy foundation that we've left, it's pretty much going to get brushed away and be left. If they're building on a solid foundation of the apostles and prophets and things that we put that are building upon this, they'll have this well. So an old man traveling a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray to a crater vast, deep, and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim, the sullen stream held no fears for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built there a bridge to span the divide, or the tide. Old man, cried the fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your time in building here. Your journey will end with the closing day. You never again will pass this way. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in path I have come, he said. There followeth after me this day a youth whose feet must pass this way. The stream which has been, as not to me, to a fair-haired youth may pitfall be. He too must cross at the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him. So I thought that was kind of neat one there. That is all I have for this, is just to remember who we are and to constantly be encouraging, because the world will bring us down and it's going to beat down upon us, and the same rock that is our foundation, that is, they're going to use that against us, and it's going to become worse. It's not going to get better. And so we have to be prepared of who we are and where we stand, and we don't silence ourselves, but we still speak these things that Christ puts upon us. So anyways, I'll go ahead and finish and have a word for those who are watching. Yahweh, we thank you for the words that you give, that as you have promised us, that as we lay foundation within where you have called us to do, that we are firm, that we can stand against the wiles of the world, the waves and the winds that come across us, so we will be able to stand against these things, that we know that as a body of Christ, that there will be there'll be things that come across as temptations and the world that is attacking us for the wickedness that is in this age. And so we thank you that we're able to stand against these things, that we come to you, and that we do not go to the world to get our answers, but we come to you and fill ourselves and just fill our bowls with the things that you are wanting to pour out upon us, that there is no end for what you have, for our blessings, our freedom, and everything that we have. They come from you, Yahweh, and they are not from man. So we remember this, and we thank you for this, and for the words that you speak, and we just say this all through your Son's name, Christ Jesus. My sons and daughters, know that as you come before me and call upon me, that I am wanting you to bear down and hold fast to the things that I have given you, and that you know are correct, but you have friends and you have family members who are pulling you away, and they are giving you opposing views, and they are giving you things that are not of my word, but things that are of today's age. And so do not fall upon these things, for it is as though you'd be building a house on top of cardboard boxes, that any weight is going to crush them down, or a little bit of rain is going to make them soggy. But stand with me and stand firm in the things that I've given to you and that I've shown you and promised you, for I will guide you through, and I will guide your paths, for I am calling you in a different direction from those other people. So as you sit in a church and you listen and you wonder, what is my calling and what am I supposed to be doing, I am calling you out, and I am calling you into another direction, that you are to praise and to enjoy the things of the body of Christ, but to be walking in the direction that I'm calling you, for I have a special purpose and I have a special need for you in an area that you know about, that I have shown you these things. So do not fear from your family or from the associates or the people that you're with, but stand out boldly and know, as you do this, they're watching you, and they're also going to be encouraged after they see the power that you show, and the things that I am going to cover for you, that I'm going to elevate you, and I'm going to put you in places where you're going to be in charge of money, you're going to be in charge of positions, and these are all going to come through you walking diligently in the path that I call you upon.